and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
As we start today, I want to kind of walk us through a little bit of where we've been. We're continuing to talk about what our hope is built upon this week. In the past few weeks, we've covered that Christ the King and God's wisdom is where our hope is founded. And they're great examples of building our house on the rock and not on the shifting sands. Because our foundation needs to be built on something solid. And when our hope is built on Christ the King and God's wisdom, it's not a temporary structure. The things of this world are constantly shifting, as we well know during this time. But who but God and His truth is eternal. So this week we're going to look at God's provision and our hope being built on this. In the time of great uncertainty, who and what do we look to provide our sense of security and for our needs? That uncertainty takes so many forms right now. Financial, will I have a job next week? For those who have lost their jobs, will I be able to provide for my family next week? For those who have faced a diagnosis, our other health problems, what will tomorrow look like? Where is God's provision now, and what exactly is He providing? So to answer that, we're going to turn to God's Word. Our scripture this week is Luke 12, 22 through 34. So let's stand as we read God's Word together. And He said to His disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a smallest thing of that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I'm going to break the scripture down a little bit today into three different sections. And at the end of each little section, in the ESV version, it's actually separated in paragraphs. In NIV, it's not. But each one of those gives us a little takeaway for how we deal with being anxious and how we deal with those worries and how we step out in faith for God's provision. So the first section we're going to look at is the verses 22 through 26. Keep in mind, notice that Jesus is addressing his disciples here. And just before this, to give you a little context, Jesus had just told the parable to a crowd of people because he had been asked a question by someone in the crowd. He told the parable of the rich fool. And the people are warned against laying up treasures for themselves instead of being rich toward God. And I love that phrase, being rich toward God, because it implies that we are giving from a place of abundance and joy as well. Jesus told that parable to a question from the crowd, and now he's speaking directly to his disciples. And keep in mind, the disciples, they've already given up a lot. They've already walked away from their livelihood, from everything that they knew previously. And so from the beginning, he's reminding us that we were designed to depend on God for everything, physically, spiritually. We know from the study of psychology, and any teacher can tell you this, that if you have a child who comes into your classroom that has not had breakfast, that came from an environment that did not feel safe and secure, where there was violence in their home, that they are not going to learn. They are not prepared to take that knowledge, absorb it into who they are, and do something with it. God didn't create us to live that way. We were designed and created to live in a garden where all our basic needs were met and more. Not only were all of Adam and Eve's physical needs met, but they were in perfect communion with God. They were able to walk with him and talk with him. They were able to just meet him in the garden in the cool of the day. They had no worries and no anxiety. And then God repeatedly demonstrates throughout the Old Testament that we were designed to depend completely on him, which means we are also dependent upon his grace. God provided for Israel in so many ways. He freed them from slavery. He provided their food, their water. He parted the Red Seas. He gave them their manna. They said, "We want meat." And he said, "Okay." And then Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God. And what did they do? They panicked. They worried. They got anxious. He didn't come back down quickly enough. They assumed, obviously, he's dead. I mean, that's the only logical answer here. And what did they do? They built idols, and they began to worship them. As soon as they forgot who God was, they forgot that he was the creator of the universe. He was the God who had led them out of slavery, met their every need, provided for them. They start to worry. And when they start to worry, they decide that their way is better than God's way. It even goes back to the first sin that we see in the garden. Eve started to worry when she started to look at that fruit. Well, maybe God didn't give me everything I needed. Maybe there's something else out there. Maybe there was something that God had not provided. And when we doubt God's provision, we get in trouble every time. When we go back to Scripture, through this Scripture, Jesus reminds us how much more valuable we are than even the ravens. The ravens were an unclean animal to the Jews. And yet, this is the animal that Jesus lifts up in this example to remind them that if God has provided for their physical needs and done all this for the raven, and that little raven is living his little best bird life, how much more is he going to do for you? How much more is he going to provide for you? And so these first two verses remind us not to worry. And then we get to the last two verses, and this is where I say that Jesus calls our bluff. He tells us and reminds us, so you think your worries, you think your wringing of your hands, your reliance on false idols is going to add an hour to your life? I created the universe. I created time itself. And you think you're going to fix this. You think you worrying is going to change this path. If God provided for those ravens so completely, then surely he will provide for us. But we have to move to a place of understanding that God is our everything, and that we truly understand that the more hope we have in our present, the more we have in our present and our future. As we move to the second part of this passage, and we see that we're not supposed to worry, so I just want everyone to raise your hand if you can turn your worry switch off and just be done with that. Like, well, obviously we read a scripture about it, says not to worry, so now we're all done worrying, right? That's not how it works. Wish it did. I am here to tell you that is not how it works. It is not that simple. But scripture does give us a clue about what we're supposed to do with that worry. So Jesus tells us not to worry because God will provide. I personally can't turn that worry switch off. I wish I could. But we live in a broken world, and one of the results of that brokenness is our anxiety and our worry. And this verse demonstrates how we were designed to live our lives when we trust God to provide. When we look at the verses 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And then Jesus mentions Solomon and his glory. And if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and gone tomorrow, O ye of little faith, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. That's the part right there, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father Your Father, who knows you, knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. It's not stop worrying so you can seek the kingdom. It's seek the kingdom so these things will be added to you. We don't turn the worry switch off so we can seek the kingdom. When we live in a state of anxiety and worry, we can't live in God's loving grace. So I'm going to do some true confessions here. My husband and children are not here today. They are at Town Center. Otherwise, there would probably be several amens coming from a certain part of the room. I am going to let y'all know that I'm a planner. That's me. I like a list. Oh, I love a list. And it's got to be a paper list. Like, you got to be able to scratch it off at the end of the day. You got to have your list. You got to get that list done every day. That's how my worry manifested itself. If I could plan it, then I could control it. And so that's how I dealt with my worry. Some people, when they worry, they shut down. Sometimes it's drugs, sometimes it's alcohol. You can pick your addiction for how you escape your worries. But here in verse 31, Jesus tells us to seek his kingdom, and then these things will be added to you. You have to first seek him before you can let go of those worries and whatever dysfunctional way you have developed of coping with them. Because when you seek the kingdom in response to God's grace, you find more grace. And when you find God's grace, you find his love, and then you find his hope.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
So, as a recovering planner, I had to learn how to rely on God to provide. I share this with you because it really took a fundamental change and shift in my perspective. My perspective had to completely change before I was able to truly understand what that obedience and that provision looked like with God. So several years ago, I really truly felt God audibly starting to speak to me and tell me that I needed to be more obedient, that when he spoke, I needed to listen and I needed to obey and do it. And so it's one of the first times that I really started to be able to hear God speak to me that way. And so as I did that, that meant listening to God and not myself. For us planners, that means adjusting on the fly and responding to what happens in the moment. Not my forte. But as I did this, and this always happens, so be warned, if you pray prayers like that, and you submit to God, he's going to work. And he is going to take advantage of that moment, and he is going to transform your heart and your mind. So this is several years back. I was ran up to Walgreens. It was during the summertime. It was hot. I just remember how hot it was that day. And pulled into Walgreens, got my stuff done, had my list. Got my stuff on my list, and got back in the car. But as I was walking back to my car, I saw a young woman. I was at the Walgreens on Westlake Houston, coming from the auto parts store across there, and she was walking across that parking lot. She had no shoes on. Her hair had not been combed in days. She was filthy. Her clothes were filthy and tattered, and she had no shoes on. So she was walking across that hot asphalt with nothing on her feet. And she came and she sat down on the bench right there in front of Walgreens. And I heard God say, go. So I went. And I went and I sat down next to her and talked to her. Ended up going in, getting her some water, something to eat. Offered to take her to a shelter or help her find a shelter. And she said no, that she had a friend that she was going to stay with, which did not sound like a real great plan to me, but that wasn't what I felt like God had called me to do in that moment. So we chatted for a little bit, and then I asked her if I could pray for her, and she said yes. And so as I did that, I reached out and I touched her arm, her kind of like her hand and her arm area. And my son was actually in the car at the time, so he's actually watching all of this from the car. And he told me later on, he said, "Mom, she smiled." And I realized when he told me that, that in that moment, she had probably not been touched in a way that signified any type of love, a touch that was anything but violent or exploitive of her, that in that moment, she was able to experience that love and that touch and in that wrapped in a moment of prayer. So as we were praying, I looked down, and then when I looked back up, when I looked down, I saw her feet, and they were just torn up. She'd obviously been barefoot for a while. And so as we finished praying, I got up, had flip-flops on, left my flip-flops, and got back in my car. And I tell you that story because it was truly transformative to me. God in that moment said, "Seek me first, seek my kingdom, do what I'm calling to do, and I'll take care of the rest." I'm sure there are things I did not get to on my list that day. I don't even know what the list was anymore. It didn't matter. In that moment, I responded to God calling me in that God-ordained moment where my life was transformed. I heard God speak. I obeyed with no questions asked. And I truly believe in that conversation that the Holy Spirit guided that conversation, my words and my action, because I had no plan. I had nothing prepared. I didn't even really know what I was going to say to her. And then I found out as I continued to live with that attitude of trust and obedience that I was okay with my plans not working out as I thought they should. That I was no longer worried about the future or felt the need to figure out exactly what that future needed to look like. I knew God was enough, period. And there have been many holy disruptions, as I call them, in my plans since then. And from that point, this is for another sermon, but God set into motion a whole nother holy disruption in my life that further transformed it. But I was able to respond to that one because I had started to respond in this little way early on. But through that, my heart and my mind transformed, and I was shown, I could see God's kingdom. I was able to just step back and say, "Jesus, take the wheel. Like, take me where I am supposed to go." And I knew that God had different plans and that I needed to embrace his plans. I was embracing his kingdom as I did that, and I wasn't trying to build my own kingdom anymore. I wasn't building my own idols anymore. And if you continue to seek after what all the nations of the world seek after, as it says in the scripture, you're going to be constantly anxious and worried about what the world says and what it says it can take care of for you and provide for you, because it's never going to be enough. But if you seek his kingdom, which is available through his love and grace and compassion, then you won't be worried about the things of this world anymore. And so as we get to the next bit of verses, at the source of that anxiety and worry is fear. And the fear that we have will not be enough. We fear what we don't have and that it will not be enough. So let me read the scripture again. "Fear not, little flock." And I love how intimate this verse is. "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The first thing that struck me about is that intimacy. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good will. And then in verse 31, it says, "Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." If you look back at the verse that precedes that, it tells us to let go of our worries. And it's like God knows that that's going to be a scary thing for us, that that's going to be a difficult step. And so the next thing he reminds us is, "Fear not. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Just sit and think on that for a moment. Jesus knew that walking away from our earthly priorities was going to be scary, but look who we are walking towards. our Father, because it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You don't have to work for it. You can't earn it. Your deeds and your attempts to restore your relationship with God and His kingdom will always be in vain, because we are completely dependent on God for His love and grace. God, through His only Son, who died on the cross for our sins, is the reason the kingdom is within our grasp. And in God's kingdom, there is no fear. Let go of the earthly things and desires of your heart and seek your treasures in heaven. This treasure is a treasure that will never fail. Where no thief approaches, no one can ever take it from you. And no moth destroys. Nothing can destroy it. Not floods, not pandemics. But perfect love drives out all fear. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." We have been perfected in love through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. When we respond to God's perfect love, then we have hope, because we know who our provider is and will be. So as we start to wrap this up, and I want to go back over and just kind of go where we've gone through these verses together. First, we have to remember that Jesus called our bluff. Our worry and fascination with worldly things will never fix anything. We were created to be in relationship with God, which means we are dependent upon Him for provision. It is through Him that we have life and the possibility of eternal life through His Son's death on the cross. And just as Israel delivered from the bonds of slavery and through God's provision made it to the promised land, we who were slaves to our sin and our idols, it is only through God's provision, the forgiveness of our sins, that we can receive the gift of God's kingdom. So first, instead, seek His kingdom first. Start there. It's where we should always start. And fear not, because in perfect love, there is no fear. Your good, good Father takes great pleasure in providing for you. He has provided, provides in the present, and will provide in our future. And when our hope is built on God, it provides us with the ability to give to others and give from a place of abundance and love. The band can start coming up, but I want to finish up with this. The Message gives this interpretation of verses 29 through 32, and I really like this. It says, "What I am trying to do here is to get you to relax, not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving." I'm going to say that again. Not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Is your hope in God the provider? Is it in everyday human concerns? Are you relying on your success or your status or your finances for your hope and your future, your ability to plan, your ability to check things off that list and try to control how things go? When our hope is built on God, then we are able to give freely and generously. When we live in obedience and live without fear, because we're no longer preoccupied with getting, and we can respond and live out what God has given us, which is love and forgiveness, so that we may be a part of His kingdom. What I learned through that interaction, through that obedience, was that when I responded to God's love, I was able to pass that love on. And if I hadn't been obedient, that love would not have been shared. And so in that, we have to remember to listen. To listen to those little voices, to pray those big prayers, and then submit to them. To remember that through those situations, as God is transforming us, when we seek His kingdom first, then these things happen, and these amazing and beautiful things happen that we were called to do. We get to go back into that communion that we were created for with God, and that is where we get to live and exist, which is way better than outside of that. So the question for this week is the question we've been looking at over the past several weeks. There it is. What does building your hope on God look like this week? Where are you going to seek His kingdom first so that you're not preoccupied over fussing over those things, so that you are able to seek His kingdom and experience His love and forgiveness in an amazing way this week? Because we all have that potential this week. This week holds that potential for us. And so as we close today, as Ryan continues to lead us in worship, I just want you to think about that. I want you to think about the things that you can leave at the cross that allow you to focus on God. But know that you don't have to do that first. God already loves you. God has already given His Son for your sin. And now it's time to respond to that and seek His kingdom. And He will meet you there and provide.